The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Fascinating story in the front page of the Irish Examiner today, reporting how a judge hearing licensing applications in Bandon in West Cork yesterday, Judge James McNulty, he outlined a series of measures that he was proposing for the organisers of a number of teenage discos in West Cork, including that they would only sell tickets directly to the children's parents, who in return would give certain undertakings about their children. And in addition, he suggested, the judge, that the organisers would carry out random breathalyzer tests on teenagers to ensure the events remain alcohol and drug free. We have two guests with us. I'm going to start with Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author. How well would you reckon this might work?
I think it's a bit heavy-handed. I can see where he's coming from, because it was a horrible story of kids being really drunk at a field hospital that happened earlier on in the year. And yet, I think the idea of breathalyzer seems way over the top. But I can see there's a huge issue in this kind of litigious culture that we're in right now, that people are afraid to hold discos for teenagers because it's so scary at the idea of them getting really, really drunk. And they are binge drinking. So I can see where he's coming from. But I think breathalyzers is way over the top, because then it's getting into a whole legal minefield of, now we know these children have been drinking, do we therefore have to prosecute, or where do you even go with that? However, I do think it's a good idea to bring the parents into the equation. I think parents are too quick to say, what are we going to do? What are the government going to do? Let's breathalyze the children, instead of saying, what are my children doing? Because somebody's getting drunk, somebody's children are getting drunk, and they're getting very, very, very drunk.
But isn't the issue a lot of the time not the drinking at the event, it's the drinking before the event, it's the pranks?
Yeah, and the problem is, it's this crazy attitude of get absolutely plastered because you can't get drink in the venue. And I'm not saying you should, because these are underage discos. But the problem is that there's this really intense attitude that the children have learned from our culture, and that we are responsible for that. This idea that you have to get absolutely plastered for it to be a good night. And that's a deep-rooted attitude in Ireland. It's really sad, but it's really, really deeply rooted.
Eunan McKinney is with us as well from Alcohol Action Ireland. And what do you make of this particular idea that this document the judge produced listing the parental responsibility commitments, that they'd have to give their assent to the event organisers taking all reasonable steps, including CCTV use, random breathalyzer testing to ensure it's alcohol and indeed drug-free?
Yeah, well, I think Matt, that Judge McNulty is, I think he's to be fairly commended for his endeavours. I mean, he hasn't sat on a bench and just made some pronouncements, perhaps like other judges would have done in the past. What he has done is he's taken a significant amount of time to actually consider the issues, because he's acutely aware, as Stella's outlined, of some things that have happened in his area. And he has sat down and produced a document which outlines a number of ideas. Now, I accept there's no question about it. Some of these are difficult. And, but a lot of things in life are difficult. And, in the week that we have, the Public Health Alcohol Bill has just passed through the House of Oireachtas. It took 6 years for that to, overcome the culture, the pervasive culture of the drinks industry, opposing things in that. So I think that there is undoubtedly a crisis in relation to some levels in relation to alcohol consumption amongst our children. And I think the judge is simply reflecting that. And I think he's to be broadly commended for that. And
he's also put his finger...
a very, very pervasive alcohol culture.
He's also put his finger on something that I think a lot of parents are familiar with now, the travel arrangements issue. He wants parents to be personally involved, because you hear of stories now of the teenagers themselves organising buses to bring them to and from events, buses on which they drink often the time, and occasionally the bus drivers are turning a blind eye to what these teenagers are getting up to.
Yeah, he did. He brought that up, and he said that parents needed to organise travel arrangements so that they were collecting and delivering their children to these events. And again, that's not an unreasonable idea. I mean, the HSE, which you'll be familiar with, have, their website, which talks about Ask About Alcohol. And on that, they've just launched or just published a parent's guide to, helping parents navigate this undoubtedly really difficult space. And one of the central things that they have in that guideline is trying to, instruct or to help help parents understand about what are the challenges and how to deal with, you know, being seen to being the uncool parent. But one of the things that they do talk about as well is that idea of travel arrangements and ensuring that you have a situation where you know where your child is going and when your child is coming home. And I think that's not an unreasonable thing, you know, in that context. I mean, these are our children. And, you know, in the context of our levels of alcohol consumption amongst our children, you know, we know that about 60,000 children are starting to drink every year, and there's no safe limit for children to drink.
I see that in their application, Bandon Rugby Club, their solicitor Veronica Neville said that there were 350 or so teenagers who attend the disco, that they employ 15 paid security personnel, 15 volunteers operate on a rota basis to supervise and manage the event. And here's the bit that really got the judge exercised. They have a sick room where they employ two paramedics with appropriate accreditation who work with oversight by pre-hospital emergency medicine physicians, and there's an ambulance available in the event of somebody needing hospitalisation. Now, that is good planning, but what does it say, perhaps, Stella, that that is actually needed?
Yeah, it sounds like the electric picnic or something. It sounds very full on, and it certainly sounds as if they're presuming everybody's going to be drunk and everybody's going to be taking drugs. And it's really sad because I do think teenagers need to go out. I think they need to have a social life. I think they need to have these places to flirt and to kind of find themselves in their social kind of milieu. And it's so sad that they're being just shut down because of this intense drink culture. And it's, you know, Eunan is so right about these buses. They are toxic. The amount of drinking that's going on the buses, the amount of mayhem, and I don't think it's fair on the bus drivers. They certainly didn't become bus drivers to start navigating teenage drinking. That wasn't on their career kind of choice when they started becoming bus drivers. And I think it's kind of landed. They can't drink here, they can't drink there, so they're ending up drinking on the buses on the way to the discos. And it's a real nightmare because they're getting so absolutely plastered. There's an attitude that's really intense. It's very kind of full on, full off, that they're not drinking at all. And then suddenly they go out maybe every 3 months or every 4 months and they go absolutely nuts. And it's a really, really dysfunctional attitude. Really bad.
What's the solution?
The solution, I believe now, Una mightn't agree with me, is a more temperate attitude to drink and a more... I know there's a huge amount of problems with drink. I know we have a long and sad history and culture of drinking. But I do think if you look towards Europe, and I don't want to be a cliche, but the teenagers there do seem to be normal drinkers. They do seem to be able to have a drink without going nuts. And I think there's a kind of an attitude that we have to kind of get in on, where I remember those ads and I thought they were really good, where the girl looked really wrecked when she went out. Do you remember they kind of reversed it, so the girl had makeup all over her and she had vomit all over her face, and they were basically showing that's her at the end of the night, and at the beginning of the night she was so pretty. I think hard-hitting ads like that, where you talk about their vanity and how wrecked they look and footage of teenagers looking plastered, there's nothing sadder and nastier looking than a teenager who's plastered. I actually live in the main street and I see it fairly often on a Saturday night, and it's a really sad sight. And I think kind of hard-hitting videos and kind of education, not kind of drink is bad for you and this is how many units, but actual clips and video footage, I think will make them realise that you don't lose your sense of yourself and don't lose it, because it's really, really nasty when people lose it.
Okay, just to finish with you, Una McKinney, I can anticipate many people saying, sure, we all did it ourselves as teenagers. What harm did it actually do us? Although, I have to say, I am aware of situations where great harm did actually arise because of people who actually, young fellas who have died, are also, you have situations where because of excessive drinking, you have all sorts of assaults and whatever have taken place as well.
And the other side of that, Matt, is that the culture that you were a child in at the age of 15 or 14 or 13 or 11, as these kids are in some of the earliest drinking, we know that 10% of 11-year-olds are nearly drinking in this country. The culture today is completely different as well. So the parents of those teenagers, you know, are working in a sort of a, you know, with respect, a kind of a rose-tinted glass of the world. Unfortunately, the world is completely different. The availability of alcohol now is so ubiquitous that these children don't stand a chance. And in the context, you know, to give an analogy, you know, you can teach a child to swim, but it'll never swim against a tsunami. And that's what we have in Ireland. We have a tsunami of alcohol culture. And thankfully, the Public Health Alcohol Act, as it now is going to start to make some significant changes to that culture. And over a generation of time, we may see a change.
Thank you very much, Eunan McKinney from Alcohol Action Ireland, and Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.